blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. Psalter 273, stanzas 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, in this second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, and that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, once again we try to draw nigh to thee. And thou who knowest the inmost thought and desire of the heart of each and every one of us, doth also know the hypocrisy that lies within our hearts of ourselves. Lord, we cannot come before thee aright, because we lack all impression of who thou art in thy holiness, in thy righteousness, and in thy justice. And we lack all impression of ourselves, what we have become in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. And so we come before thee, always in a wrong way. But Lord, oh, wilt thou cleanse us and wash us from all our iniquities? And wilt thou yet hear us for the sake of him whom thou always heareth? And may thou look upon us in and through him who gave his life for his church, and who also resurrected from the grave, that he may ascend to thee, that he may sit at thy right hand, and that there he may present before thee his church without spot and without wrinkle. Lord, wilt thou be pleased to open this mystery, this blessedness in the life of thy destitute people? For they see so much of all that lies within, and the impossibility grows greater and greater with the more knowledge of self. Then they need that it be open to them, what thou hast accomplished for them. Lord, may thou grant them the joy of thy salvation in this day, when it was such a day of joy and rejoicing in the life of thy church so many years ago, a day wherein the riddles began to be answered, when all the perplexities of their hearts, they began to receive a solution step by step, when thou wouldst give them instruction, and when thou wouldst lead them further in the knowledge of thee. Oh, what a blessed knowledge for to know thee, that is life eternal. Lord, we have of ourselves no desire for that knowledge. Oh, that thou may open our blind eyes when we are traveling together to a great eternity, and when the callings are coming to us day after day, and then especially in this day, wherein thou hast taken away from us a member in our midst. Lord, may this calling not go unheeded, because we are like the beasts that perish. Oh, then for a moment we are standing still, but then immediately, oh, then we are going about our life again, and then it seems as if nothing has taken place. Oh, Lord, we cannot give ourselves one true impression. We cannot give ourselves one true cry, one true sigh to thee. Oh, we are so dependent upon thee for everything, so that without thee we can do nothing. Oh, may thou give in the life of each and every one of us that true concern to be born. Oh, give a true need to be felt, to be experienced in our souls, that we may not be able to go on as we have gone to this moment. But wilt thou stop us in our mad career, and wilt thou turn us from our evil, vain, and carnal ways, and draw our hearts to seek for that country, for that city that has foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. Lord, when thou wilt not stop us, oh, then we will go our whole life long, even with our cloak of religion, and we will bring ourselves to the brink of destruction. Oh, then we will cast ourselves therein. Lord, remember us. Oh, to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Give us then instruction from above this day, in thy own house of prayer, and wilt thou cause thy word to be sharper than a two-edged sword, that it may pierce asunder to the dividing of the soul and spirit. Oh, remember the children and the youth of the congregation. Oh, instruct them in the days of their youth, because our life is indeed in handbreadth. It is but a shadow, and it is flying away, and the strength thereof is but labor and sorrow. But Lord, we have such a different thought in our minds, in our youth. Oh, that thou may give an impression that there is one thing needful, that they may be given to remember their Creator in the days of their youth before the evil days draw nigh. Oh, look upon parents. Lord, give us more faithfulness. Give us more diligence. Oh, give us instruction from above and an earnestness and a zeal to instruct and to warn our dear children that they might walk on that narrow pathway that leadeth to life eternal. Wilt thou look upon all the old aged, those that are afflicted, those that are sick, supply for all those that mourn, and those that miss their loved ones, who are so dear to them. Remember those who are not married. Remember where there are difficulties in marriages. And Lord, wilt thou give the solution from above, as thou alone art able. Remember those who have no children, and for whom the burdens lie upon them day by day. May thou supply in all the crosses that may be upon us in this life. May they be used, O Lord, for the good of our soul. Oh, that we may be led in a way wherein thy dealings may have an impression, and that it may bring us to that place where we cannot bring ourselves, and where we may come as a needy and as a wretched and guilty sinner before God, there to receive everything out of the hand of Him that gives it so freely. Oh, that our sins, which are as scarlet and maybe as white as snow, which are red like crimson, and may be made as wool through that shed blood of Him who gave Himself and who is today alive. Lord, look on us in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou be with all thy servants? Help them in the preaching of thy word. Be with our rulers and all those that govern us. Strengthen them in their labors, but not in the ways of sin. And turn us as a nation to thy word, to thy testimonies. Wilt thou look upon all those that do enforce the law? Lord, may thou strengthen them also in their work and protect them from the evils of the prince of darkness. And may thou look on all that are in the prisons, give a true repentance. Oh, teach us that we deserve so to be in that place. And may we be given together to truly turn from the evil of our ways. Help us in the preaching of thy word. Lord, give us a little opening. Give us a little liberty of thy Holy Spirit. But Lord, if not, wilt thou not withhold thy blessing from this people? Oh, may thou come in the midst of us, despite us, despite all our iniquities, and be pleased to use thy word this day. Oh, that the fruit of the resurrection of thy only begotten Son may be experienced in the resurrection of the dead this day. Oh, show thyself, forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 332, all stanzas. Forever settled in the heavens, and thy word, O Lord, shall firmly stand. Thy faithfulness shall never fail. The earth abides at thy command. We announce that the consistory meeting for tomorrow evening has been canceled. Psalter 332, all stanzas. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. They are, congregation, the words of the Apostle Paul unto Timothy, whom he calls his own son in the faith. He would give Timothy instruction. He would teach Timothy, and he would encourage him in the labors that he had to do within the church of God. Consider, he says, what I say. Consider it. Don't just read quickly over my letter, but think about it. Meditate about these words. Ponder what I have to say. If there will be any profit from our reading, from our hearing, then there must also be a pondering, a consideration, a meditation. Congregation, do we desire to be converted? Is that desire more than a mere idle wish? Have we no more than just a desire? And is there never any searching? Is there never any looking? Is there never any longing? Is there never any laboring for that which we say is our desire? Because you know that the fruits of the field, which now you will soon begin to seek after, they will come only with very much labor of your hands. And that is not different with the fruits out of the Word of God. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, he is saying that we ought to strive to enter in. Consider what I say. What does Solomon say? Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That is now the other side. Because we can with much zeal be studying in the Word of God. And we can be with much earnestness reading and seeking, but at the same time that we are leaning upon our own understanding. And if this is our case, what will be the fruit? Oh, then the fruit will be a religion of our own. Our own understanding of religion that is so different than the understanding that is wrought in the life of his church. In our own understanding, then we are only with our religion becoming a converted man. And that is the opposite of that way that the Lord is leading his true people. No, at the same time that we are considering, at the same time as we are seeking, then it is also necessary that the Lord is giving us understanding in all things. That the Lord is enlightening our understanding, that he is giving light to our blind eyes. Because then it is the power that is experienced within our soul. What did David say? Over and over you can read it. When he is beseeching the Lord to quicken me, he says, according to thy word, teach me, O Lord, lead me in the way of thy statutes, incline my heart unto the way of thy testimonies, over and over again. And that he stands in need that the Lord would give him understanding in all things. What does James say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. consider what I say. And the Lord give the understanding in all things. But what is it that Paul will have Timothy to consider? That is the words of our text, which you find in the following two verses. That is verses 8 and 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. So far, the words of our text. Paul's encouragement to Timothy. First, the need for this encouragement. Second, the foundation of this encouragement. And third, the substance of this encouragement. Paul's encouragement to Timothy. First, the need for this encouragement. Second, the foundation of this encouragement. And third, the substance of this encouragement. Thus, first, the need for this encouragement. And why is that encouragement so necessary here in the life of Timothy? Well, then we have to look at where Paul is. When Paul is writing this epistle to Timothy, then he is a prisoner. He is a prisoner in Rome. That is, he is in bonds. His life is in very much danger. He is near martyrdom. He says, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." For Timothy, that is no light matter, because Paul was the spiritual instructor of Timothy. And then Timothy also feels something of his own ignorance. And Timothy in himself cannot do without the instruction that he might receive from the Apostle Paul. But for the church, it is also not an insignificant thing. And why not? Because Paul is a pillar of that church. Paul is giving the direction for that new church of God. Boys and girls, what happened to that building when Samson stood by the two pillars and the Lord gave him strength one more time and he pushed those pillars over? What happened to that building? Say then, that building came tumbling down. And so it is. When a building is being held up by a certain foundation, when there are pillars, and those pillars are holding up that building, then it is so necessary that those pillars are strong and that those pillars are remaining there. And now in the Bible, then we read also about pillars, and they are pillars within that church of God. They are certain men that the Lord has placed also in that church, that they may be used as instruments in his hand for the building up of that church. And now what is the intent, what is the desire of Satan? That he may destroy that church and that he may take the pillars away. And so he has killed James with the sword. And we can read that Peter was taken also. And now Paul, he is here in great danger. Thus David writes, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" is there not much cause for Timothy to be concerned with the welfare of the true church of God in the future? How will that church fare? But congregation, not only Timothy, but what about in our own days? Because where are now those pillars of that church of God? Or is it not true? Must we not say that for a large part, that those pillars that may be in the days of our fathers, that those pillars have been taken away? Oh, that those servants of the Lord, and not only those servants, but the leading elders and the children of the Lord that have been led so far by Him, that may see such wonders and mysteries in the way of the Lord with His own people? Or is it not true that such pillars are so lacking in the days that you and I are living with our dear children? Oh, is there not a dearth of those who truly may live a close life unto the Lord? Oh, is there not in general such a lack of those who may know something of those further steps of grace? Those within the congregations that may even give instruction to God's servants for the preaching? Have we not also to fear for the sake of our own children, for the sake of the condition of the church in the future? But there is a second thing that Paul writes to Timothy about. What is that? Well, he warns him. He warns Timothy about trouble. Trouble that is coming within the church. Trouble, he says, because of false teachers. Those that are bringing error within the church. They have already come. But he says these are going to continue to increase within the church. They are those who have itching ears. They are those who cannot endure sound doctrine, we read. And now, how is that for Timothy? Timothy is young. How would Timothy be able to deal with the wolves that are coming within that church of God among his true servants? Or would not Timothy so miss Paul at that time, so miss that pillar within the church, because the enemy is always bold. The enemy is always so daring. He is so confident in himself. He is so defiant against God, against his people. The devices of the enemy are often so very many. But how is this for Timothy? Timothy, he is young. Timothy is tender. Timothy is in himself not fit for such a warfare. No, David in himself was not either. David was not able to put on even the armor of Saul that he may go forth against that mighty enemy Goliath. And then you can be sure that Timothy trembled at just the thought of having to miss Paul. How often is that true church not discouraged and filled with fear because of the many enemies? It is, congregation, a little remnant. It is so weak. It is so in itself helpless. And what is the enemy? He is so strong. The enemy is so mighty because they fight not against flesh and blood, but they fight against principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, we read, in high places. And how often then does that true church not fear? One day I will perish in that hand of Saul. Mine enemies are lively. Mine enemies are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. And what does Paul then say to Timothy? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say, and what is that that he says? That is our second thought, the foundation of this encouragement. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Thus Paul will encourage Timothy through all his fears in all that is coming within that true church of God. And what does he say? He says, remember. Timothy, always keep this thing in your mind, in your heart. Consider it, Timothy. Ponder it. Meditate upon it. And let it go over and over within you. There are things that true church has always to be reminded of, because they can so easily forget. The nominal Christendom congregation does not need to be encouraged. They are always cheerful, and they are always able to maintain that positive attitude. No, then there is not a trying of the spirits. No, but there is a believing of every spirit. Bring them all in. We are all one. We are all the children of God. No, then there is no despondency, but there is only a rejoicing. Sadly, a very superficial rejoicing. But there is on the other side a sigh. There is a sigh in the heart of that true church of God. A sigh because of what lies in their own heart, and a sigh because of the abominations which are done in the land. They cannot find any fruit here, but then they may also look about them within that church of God, and then they see that daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion who is left as a cottage in a vineyard and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And then the walls so broken down, and they see an enemy, and they are trembling because of their own weakness, and so prone to look only on their circumstances and to forget him who is standing above every circumstance in the life of his people. And thus the Lord is coming by times in his church to say something to them. And what is that? That they must lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And so Paul is doing unto Timothy, the servant of the Lord, who has to go forward and then without him to labor in that vineyard of the Lord. And that is so necessary for the laborers, but it is also necessary for others. For whom? For those who mourn in Zion. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This congregation, very difficult for us to imagine what that was in the life of the disciples when they finally may believe that the Lord Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. Peter says, "Blessed be God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He was the foundation of all their hope. He was the foundation of every expectation which lay in the hearts of the disciples of the Lord. And when that foundation was cut off, then those disciples had no more standing with God. They had to die without him. And then they were lost. But what was now the resurrection for his people? It was the resurrection of their hope. He says, "Begotten again unto a lively hope." Thus, when the Lord Jesus was laid in the grave, then the church was certain that the enemy had been victorious. But after that, the Lord Jesus arose, and then the disciples were taught by him of the necessity of their death. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And then instructed in the manner how it is that Christ would receive the victory over the devil. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. What does Owen write? He writes of the death of death in the death of Christ. That is, through death, that the enemy was to be conquered. And that was a way that was so beyond the comprehension and understanding of these disciples. Thus, not in that way of increasing. No, but in that way again of decreasing. In that way of humility, in that way of suffering, even in that way of the experience of death itself. That is the way that the true church is going to receive the victory over the devil and over death, hell, and the grave. Later, that church would have to bear the onslaughts of the enemy. Oh, so that was in the early church. Already in paradise, the Lord had promised this. Do you know where that was, boys and girls? Where had the Lord said that? The Lord had said that, and when he spoke to the devil, and when he promised that the Lord Jesus would bruise his head, and he says, "Thou shalt bruise his heel." Thus, Satan, he would be allowed to touch that true church of God. And they would not be without those attacks of that prince of darkness. Where was Paul now? Paul is here in bondage. And when Paul is in bondage, then that little remnant of that true church of God that is also in so much fear. But what does Paul write to Timothy? Remember, consider what I say. Remember Think upon it. Let it go over and over again in your mind. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Oh, he says, remember, Timothy, that the enemy is already conquered. You see him. He is coming against you. You fear him so much, but the head of that enemy is itself bruised, and therefore the power of that enemy is completely broken. No matter, Timothy, how much that devil roars, oh, it is impossible that the devil shall gain that victory. No matter how small, no matter how weak, no matter how helpless that a church is in itself, it is impossible that that people shall be overcome. Oh, no matter how low that candle of the true church is flickering. Oh, that candle shall never, Timothy, that shall never be put out. How often in trial, in tribulation, do that people not think, do that people not act as if the Lord is no longer alive? A congregation, John saw him, and John heard him speak. John heard him say, fear not. Why? Because I am the first and I am the last. I am he that was dead and am alive, and that forevermore, he says, amen. Truly, truly alive forever and forevermore. Oh, how God's servant at one time did pray the Lord and that he may open the eyes of his servant and that he may see. And then he saw the chariots of fire all about them to keep them, to protect them. And that it was not just an enemy, but it was the Lord who had the power, and it was the Lord who would receive the victory. Oh, here is that foundation for that true church, that the Lord Jesus was dead and he is alive. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Oh, in that death, so conquered that enemy, and in his resurrection, rising as the victor over that enemy. And now, well, we heard that also this morning, all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. Therefore, those elect that are written in that book of God, they are going to be drawn. They are going to be preserved by him even unto the end. But let us sing first. Psalter 432, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God Jehovah reigns. His are all domains. Tremble at his word. Peoples who have heard of the power of him who mid cherubim his great throne has taken, let the earth be shaken. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 432. Our third thought, the substance of this encouragement. Congregation, who of all the apostles was so instrumental in the spreading of the gospel as the Apostle Paul among the Gentiles? Now there came a time that Paul was bound, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. There is nothing that provokes Satan more than the conversion of sinners. The battle that he has fought against the Lord Jesus Christ is a battle at which he has lost. And yet the devil is always yet fighting, that he may now retain every one of his subjects. But what is the means that the Lord is using to convert sinners? That is the preaching of the Word of God. And therefore his servants, they have been over the years the subjects of the special attacks of that prince of darkness. How many of God's servants have not been imprisoned, have not been slain within the church? How many of God's servants have not been afflicted with weakness, with sickness, with poverty? Paul says that he had to suffer as an evildoer, just as if that he were a criminal. But then what does he say? He says, they can bind me. But, he says, they cannot bind the Lord. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. There was a sense in which this was true even in a literal way, because Paul was, of course, imprisoned, but he was still permitted to receive visitors, and he was still permitted to preach the gospel in the place where he was. He was still permitted to write. Little did the enemy realize what that imprisonment of Paul would bring about, even the epistles that we may have within that Word of God. Thus, the binding of Paul that was actually for the spreading of the Word of God even to the end of this world. Since that day, the devil has also tried so many times to bind that Word of God, and to prevent it from being preached, to prevent it from being read. He has bound his servants in the prison. He has burned the Bible. He has used the Roman Catholic Church to keep the Holy Scriptures from being read. He has had the Word preached in languages that the people could not understand. And what is he doing today? He is still trying to corrupt that Word of God through so many different so-called versions. Oh, then when we look about us in the world that we live, where can we find those who still desire to hear that true Word of God as we may have it in our King James Version? How discouraging and fearful and that it can be also for us when we are looking into the future and when we are considering our own children, what is going to be left for our children, for our grandchildren. Oh, is there not still also today that mourning remnant that cannot see everything that is taking place
in such a positive light. They cannot receive and believe so much that it is such a genuine work of the Lord that we are seeing, that we are hearing of. Or are there not still those that are sighing and that are crying for the abominations, for that breach in Zion, for the walls of Jerusalem? But, people of the Lord, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. No matter how low, that it will come for us and for our children within the church of God, then that word of God is not bound. That is the foundation. That is the expectation of that true remnant in the Lord. And where is it coming from? That is coming out of that blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we can mourn for the condition of Zion, but it does not go about the condition of Zion. No, the Lord is a surprising God. Why is the Lord a surprising God? Because the Lord will receive the honor when He is doing His work. And that is why, in the application of His word, that it has to go from bondage into liberty, that it has to go from death into life. That was the experience of that true church of God, the disciples. They had to experience the manner, how it is that the Lord would perform His own word. So contrary to their expectations, though it was told them over and over by the Lord Jesus, how differently that salvation was experienced than what they thought. First to an end, then the wonder. The word of God is not bound. No congregation, not when we sit in the darkest prison. Not when we are shut up. Not when we cannot come forth. Israel was in bondage 70 years. And what did the Lord do? He only spoke. He spoke, and then Cyrus, whose heart was in the hand of the Lord, he had to let the children of Israel go. That is how simple it is from the side of the Lord. Through all our impossibilities, know the word of the Lord that is not bound, not when it becomes utterly impossible in our life. Not, parents, when your children, whom you have brought up under the truth, are no longer sitting amongst us. No, when they don't want to believe anything anymore. And when they are at this day living it out in the world. The word of God is not bound. No, when our children have chosen a different religion, when our children have chosen, above all our warnings, above all our admonitions and instructions, when they have chosen to go that way which is easier for their flesh, when they are today sitting under a false doctrine, and when they today think that they are one of the true children of the Lord, and when they are this day standing on a false foundation, so that even an angel from heaven could not make them to doubt, the word of God is not bound. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Oh, that word of God is not bound. When our parents are old, when our parents are sick, and when we are not able to reach them anymore, and when they are lying with dementia, when they are lying in a coma, know then that word of God that is not bound. Parents, the word of God is not bound when you have to stay home with your children. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, is that ever a burden to you when you have to stay home? Oh, we hope that in the days of your youth, that this place may be your joy, to come up to the house of God, and when it is your turn to stay home with little brother, little sister, that it may be your greatest disappointment, not because there you will not see your friends, but because then you must say, oh, maybe the Lord will come this day in the house of God. Oh, then we say to you, then go on your knees, because, oh, when we are absent, young people, when we are absent, we leave our place empty in an unlawful manner. We should not expect a blessing, but the Lord knows what we have to do. And that word of God that is not bound, when we may be also in our home, and when we may come before Him in our own secret chambers. Oh, the word of God is not bound. Is that not a word also for us, consistory? When we go about to do our labors in the homes, in the congregation, and when you say, I have nothing to say, I have nothing to bring, and you feel so, so empty, oh, then that word of God that is not bound, despite the fact that we have absolutely nothing. Oh, when we are bound here, oh, then the word of God also is not bound. But congregation, it is not bound also in a personal way. When our heart is so, so hard, and when you say, I cannot break it, and when therefore that you say it is impossible, that I cannot give myself one impression, and that you remember the days that you were young, and you long, you say, could I come back there when I had at least a little impression in my heart? But remember that, young people, the older, the colder, and yet it does not go about us. No, it goes about the power of Him who is resurrected from the dead. And Paul says, therefore, though everything, every servant of the Lord, though every person in this world is bound, yet that word of God is not bound. And when you think it is useless to come up anymore to that house of God, and when you think it is useless to bend your knees anymore, because you say, I have done it for 20, 40, 60, 80 years. And I still don't have what I stand in need of. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And the devil says, stay home. And when the devil says, don't listen to the word of God anymore because it is absolutely impossible, then remember that he has bruised that head of that devil. And when you feel to be at the ends of the earth, so that your heart is nothing but a heap of carnality and a heap of worldliness, oh, then remember that word of God is not bound. And when you are afraid that sin that is now going to have the complete dominion over you, oh, when your heart is so bound up that you cannot pray one prayer and that you cannot sigh one sigh, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. O congregation, when that enemy, he is coming against you to convince you that it is nothing but hopeless. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Then may you remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and that it may be an encouragement, and that you may be brought also to experience something of the power of his resurrection. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can't convert each other, but oh, thou can convert us. It is thy word, O Lord. Thy word is not bound, and thou art raised from the dead. Thou art alive. Thou hast all power given unto thee in the heavens and in the earth. Oh, thou can speak one word. Oh, we beseech it of thee. We are so unworthy of it. We have made ourselves so in paradise. We continue to make ourselves so, and to provoke thee to anger moment by moment. Look upon us, Lord, in and through thy dear Son. Oh, bless thy word this day. And may it be also in the future. Remember those that mourn. Go with us in this day and in the week to come. Stand on their right and on their left when they will stand at that open grave. And especially that mourning widow. And Lord, may thou be on the right and on the left of each one of us in all our labors. Oh, that one thing needful may be bound upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 231. All stanzas. Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land, restored again thy captive band, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast. And all their guilt hast covered o'er, removed from them thy anger sore, all thy fierce wrath behind thee cast. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 231.
raise thy people, Lord, return. No longer let thy anger burn. Wilt thou forever angry be? Through ages shall thy wrath survive. Wilt thou not us again revive? That so receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.